Welcome, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're looking into a message that I think really hits home for all of us, especially as Christians trying to live faithfully in, well, what often feels like a pretty challenging world these days. We're going to explore a teaching from Brother Steve over at New Life Benson. This was from Wednesday, August 6th, 2025, covering 1 John, Lesson 30. And it's all about spiritual growth, what that really looks like day to day as followers of Christ. Our hope here is to pull out the key insights, help you grasp the core truths, and maybe see how they apply in your own life. Get ready for some really affirming stuff from Scripture, and maybe some things that shift how we think about maturity in Christ.
That's right. Brother Steve gave us a very helpful framework. He was drawing from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 mainly. He walked us through the stages you sometimes hear about children, young men, fathers in the faith, but maybe more importantly, he clarified what this growth is fundamentally. He stressed that spiritual growth isn't just, you know, a nice extra, it's really an obligation for believers. The goal, he explained, is becoming more like Christ. That's the whole point. And God designs that process, even using sometimes discipline or correction to shape us. And he made a really key distinction between positional sanctification, that's being saved, mm-hmm. our standing in Christ right now. And there's ultimate sanctification, being with the Lord in heaven, perfected. And then the big one for us day to day, progressive sanctification. That's the ongoing process right here on earth. Understanding that difference is, well, it's foundational.
It really is. That foundation is so key. And what struck me about Brother Steve's message was how he first kind of cleared off the desk. You know, he tackled these common ideas about spiritual growth that aren't actually right. Ideas that can even hold us back. So let's start there. What isn't spiritual growth, according to the Bible? This part really made me think.
Mm-hmm. He laid out several really critical points, things we need to get straight. First off, your spiritual growth. It has zero impact on your standing before God in Christ. Zero. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you are covered. His blood, his righteousness, that's settled. Like Brother Smith put it, even if you're just an infant in the faith, spiritually speaking, your standing with God is just as secure as, say, a spiritual giant. Your position is fixed. It's not based on your performance.
That's huge. And the second point.
Second, it's not about how much God loves you. This is so freeing. God doesn't love you more if you're super mature or less if you're still struggling with basic things. His love is perfect. It doesn't change based on us. He mentioned John 13.1, how Jesus loved his disciples to perfection, right?
Right. Even when they were messing up, being proud, arguing.
Exactly. They were often immature, doubting him, focused on themselves. But his love was perfect. Think about it. God loved us when we were his enemies. So his love for us now as his children, it's settled. It's eternal.
Okay, so it's not our standing, not God's love for us. What else?
Third, it's not about time. Just because someone has been a Christian for, say, 20, 30, 40 years doesn't automatically mean they're spiritually mature. Sadly, many can stay immature for decades. He brought up Paul writing to the Corinthians, calling them babes in Christ, still fleshy.
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 3.
Right. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5, challenging believers who should have been teachers by then but still needed the basics explained again. But the flip side is also true. Someone newer to the faith can actually be more spiritually mature than someone who's been around for ages. It's not about the clock.
That's a sobering thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number four. Mm-hmm. This one felt really important.
It is. Fourth, spiritual growth is not just about piling up knowledge. Biblical information is vital. Absolutely. We need it. But maturity isn't just having a head full of theology. Brother Steve said it powerfully, that knowledge has to be pure and applied. It has to actually change us, conform us to be more like Jesus. He gave a warning, didn't he? If you're a real student of the word, but not a person of the word, that's actually dangerous.
Why dangerous?
Because the more truth we take in without letting it change how we live, the more we can fool ourselves into thinking we're mature when we're not. It can lead to pride or just deadness.
Like knowing all about nutrition, but only eating junk food.
Exactly. Your walk with the Lord should be transforming you. Otherwise, that knowledge can become, as he put it, spiritually deadening.
Got it. And there was a couple more, right?
Right. Yes. Fifth, it's not about your activity level. Even being really busy in church, running ministries, teaching Sunday school, none of that by itself equals spiritual maturity. He mentioned knowing people heading up ministries who were actually quite immature spiritually. Busyness isn't the same as growth. It's easy to confuse the two.
Okay.
And the last one.
And finally, it's not about worldly success. Not about how much money you have or how big your church is or how much influence you seem to have. None of that is God's measuring stick for maturity. He used Paul as an example. Paul suffered, faced persecution, lived with very little sometimes, and yet he was profoundly mature. Contentment in hardship was a sign of his maturity, not worldly status.
Wow. Okay, that really does clear away a lot of the common ways we might judge ourselves or others. It's quite freeing, actually.
It is.
So if growth isn't about our standing, God's love, time, knowledge alone, activity, or success, then what is it? How did Brother Steve describe the actual dynamic of growth? He had this interesting idea about it being relative and absolute. All right, that part was fascinating. He explained that spiritual maturity, or maybe looking at it from the other side, our fleshiness or carnality, when we're living out of our sinful nature, it's relative, meaning it can shift. It fluctuates based on our choices, our circumstances, how we're responding to God in the moment. But here's the absolute part. At any single point in time, you are either walking in the spirit or you are walking in the flesh. There's no middle ground right then.
So it changes, but in any given moment, it's one or the other.
Precisely. When you're obeying God's word, relying on his spirit, seeking to please him, you're spiritual in that moment. When you're giving in to selfishness, pride, anger, whatever it is, you're fleshly or carnal in that moment. And here's the kicker, the really crucial implication he drew out. We only grow during the times we are spiritual.
Only then.
Only then. There's no coasting in the Christian life. You're either moving forward, growing when you're walking in the spirit, or you're actually falling back when you're walking in the flesh. So spiritual growth isn't some single event. It's the sum total, the accumulation of all those times you chose to walk in the spirit. Simply put, the more time you spend walking in the spirit, the more you grow.
That makes so much sense. It really frames it as a process, doesn't it? Not just hoping for a lightning bolt moment.
Exactly right. He emphasized it's not mystical, not some secret knowledge, not even just making the decision, like rededicating your life, though that can be a starting point. It is a deliberate process, like physical growth.
How does that process work? What fuels it?
It's about feeding your spirit.
Mm.
He went straight to Jesus's words in Matthew 4.4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Our spiritual food, it's God's word, every word. So growth is directly tied to us taking in, understanding, and responding to God's revelation.
Through scripture, primarily.
Through scripture, yes, but also how God speaks through circumstances, through prayer, through the nudges of the Holy Spirit aligning with his word. It's about increasing our understanding of him and his ways. And the Bible uses all kinds of pictures for this process, right? Following after righteousness, like in 1 Timothy.
Being transformed by renewing our minds, Romans 12.
Perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians. Pressing toward the goal, Philippians. Being built up, rooted in faith, Colossians.
So many different angles on the same core idea.
It's all about consistently taking in God's truth and letting it shape us, change how we think, how we act, how we respond. It's an active, ongoing engagement.
That focus on process is practical. But, you know, hearing all this about growth, walking in the spirit, it could still make someone feel inadequate, couldn't it? Like, am I doing enough? Am I really growing? How did the message from 1 John, especially the part Brother Steve focused on next, address that potential anxiety?
Ah, yes. That's such an important balance. He made it really clear that John wrote his first letter with all those tests, you know, believing in Christ, confessing sin, obeying, loving others. He wrote it not to make genuine believers doubt their salvation.
Not to create insecurity.
Exactly the opposite. He quotes 1 John 5.12. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. John wants believers to be sure, to be affirmed, and also to be able to tell the difference between real faith and just, well, empty profession. A true believer reading 1 John will see those marks, maybe imperfectly, but they'll recognize the desire in their own heart for those things.
Okay, so the goal is assurance, not anxiety. And then he moved into verses 12 to 14 of chapter 2. That opening line seems incredibly powerful in light of this.
It really is foundational. John starts, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Brother Steve pointed out that the Greek word there, technia, it just means born ones. It's affectionate, like little darlings. It applies to all believers, every single one of us, no matter our stage of growth.
Children, young men, fathers, all are technia.
All are God's born ones. And the first most fundamental truth John states for all of us is your sins are forgiven.
Wow.
That is the bedrock reality of our salvation. Your relationship with God, your standing, your position, it's secure. Why? Because Christ paid the price fully. Completely. Brother Steve kept emphasizing this. Once forgiven, always forgiven. He backed it up with scripture, Ephesians 1.7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
According to the riches of his grace.
Exactly. And 1 John 1.7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, past, present, future. It's done.
And crucially, it's not because we earned it.
Not at all. It's for his name's sake, for his glory. That's the ultimate motivation behind everything God does, including redeeming us. Psalm 25.11 says, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." When God forgives us, his grace, his mercy, his power, his character is put on display, and then out of gratitude, we live to glorify him and point others to that same amazing forgiveness.
So that forgiveness is the starting point, the constant reality for everyone.
It's the constant reality. He wrapped that part up by saying there's absolutely room in the kingdom for spiritual babies, young men, and fathers. God knows we grow. He doesn't expect perfection from day one, but our salvation, our forgiveness, that's already perfect and complete in Christ. Spiritual growth, maturity, that's about sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. Mm. But it's always, always built on the solid rock of our justification, our forgiveness. That never changes.
That is such an important message, especially for today. It clarifies so much. Our standing is secure. God's love doesn't waver. Growth is a process driven by his word, not by, you know, checking boxes or external things. Mm-hmm. It gives us a much clearer lens, I think, for looking at our own walk. Encourages diligence, yes, but without that crushing weight of trying to earn something that's already freely given.
Absolutely. And it means that because we are children of God, forgiven, secure, we're called and equipped to be lights, especially, as you said, in a world that seems increasingly dark. The prayer at the end of the message really hit that home. We need to take this understanding, feed on it, yes, but then use it, live it out.
How do we do that practically?
It means practicing these things, thinking about them, talking about them, letting them shape our actions, our reactions, even our thoughts, so that how we live actually points back to God's glory.
Right. It's about application. So maybe here's something for all of us to think about as we finish up. If spiritual growth really only happens in those moments we're actively walking in the Spirit, what's one intentional choice you can make today? Or maybe this week?
Good question.
Something specific to make sure you're actively feeding on God's word and letting it translate into action. Moving forward, not slipping back. How do we turn that knowledge, that amazing truth of forgiveness and the call to grow, into something that genuinely changes how we live and shine his light right where we are?